Well, it's a rainy day here in Nashville.
It is. It's like, but it's going to stop being a rainy day, which is good because I'm going to an outdoor event for 2 days.
Okay.
It's not, I mean, I'm not like sleeping outdoors, but you know, it's kind of an outdoorsy thing.
Okay.
Well, Natchez Trace State Park, a couple hours west of here.
That's cool.
Yeah, so, it'll
but,
be nice.
But before you do that, I think we're going to record a podcast.
Oh, gosh.
This is the B&A Podcast. I'm Jay.
I'm Brian.
We'll be back with you in a minute. Well, we're back after a few weeks from doing this. I've had actually people ask me when we were going to do another podcast.
I have too.
Which is a little scary.
Yeah, and a great sign, actually. Yeah, I've talked about it a little bit, and I don't know.
I know we probably need to be on a regular schedule.
Yeah,
but,
right.
Our lives don't.
Yet our age being regular can be difficult.
Yes, that is very.
So
very
true. We'll do the best we can.
Maybe somebody needs to give us the Miralax for podcasting.
Right, podcast-alax.
Yeah, podcast-alax.
Pod-alax. Yeah, we'll come up with something.
It's going downhill from now.
Already, right? So, see, this is why this doesn't happen because we start talking about going to the bathroom.
What's going on?
So, what's been a very busy time? I've started teaching again.
That's cool.
Which is fantastic, and then I traveled a bit, and I'm up to my proverbial waist anyway. Maybe not up to my armpits, but I'm definitely up to my waist in projects and.
Well, that's a good
things
thing.
That are going on. So it's all very good.
That income is coming in, which is a
people
good
do
thing.
Pay me, which is kind.
Yes, that's cool
and always surprising.
Good deal.
Every time it comes in, I'm like, they paid me again.
They paid
that's
me again.
Thing.
It's just amazing. Yeah, well, as you know, I'm just doing homeless stuff.
Yeah, right? It's homeless, and more homeless. We're excited. Today's going to be fun because here in a few minutes, we're going to cover a couple of things, but in a few minutes, we have a guest.
We do have a guest.
And he's working on homeless stuff.
District 14 Councilperson Jordan Huffman, and we did a little interview with him, and it was good to talk with him. He's got some interesting perspective.
Yeah, this is great. Brand new councilperson, I think a great addition to the council, and so some good ideas. And it's our first conversation with him. Might have him back though. We talked about it. He's anxious to talk about some of the issues in their district. So.
Yeah, good guy.
Good guy.
We enjoyed it. So what do we want to start
off with? Well, there's things.
There is things.
I have things, right? And
things.
So I'm trying in order to make our podcast more concise.
Okay.
Because I have a rambling problem. Now I know you probably haven't noticed. But other people have mentioned it.
I think we both have a rambling problem.
That's probably true. I'm related to the people that mention it to me.
Gotcha.
So, but there have been a few things going on, and there's a massive brouhaha about the airport. A big brouhaha. It turns out it's made national news now.
Is the traffic?
That you can't get into our airport.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a problem.
People are walking with their suitcases on Interstate 40 because they can walk faster than they can drive to be dropped off.
So here's the question. If you bypass the direct entrance off of just past Briley Parkway.
And go to Donaldson.
And go to Donaldson going that way. Do you have the same issues?
You do now.
Okay.
It was the great alternative.
Gotcha.
Right? And so now remember, they've already moved Donaldson temporarily.
Right.
So Donaldson Pike at the airport entrance is now about 50 yards east of where it used to be.
Gotcha.
And that also adds a little confusion to the process. But coming in, it's in the same place, but going out, it's in a different place. And so the merges are different, but they're still working on it. So we have construction. That's a problem.
Right.
Right. So a lot of construction, lane changes and things like that.
Right.
We have, number two, an egress problem.
Yeah.
And that is... After you go to departures or arrivals, it doesn't matter which one.
The stoplight.
Two stoplights. So there are two stoplights right after that are still engaging in the process of stopping.
Right.
Now, these are not traffic signals. Traffic signals change.
Right.
These are stoplights.
Right.
Every time you leave that place, they're red.
Right.
So they refuse. They refuse to even discuss changing those lights.
Right.
Nobody knows why.
Well, that's a very good question.
I've talked to people on the Twitter and back and forth, and there's a contingent of people that are always talking about this that are like, why don't they just make an exit lane all the way out of the airport where they're always green? Because both of those lights, mm-hmm. only serve people in the far left lane. They allow right. people to come out of parking lot one.
Right.
And then they allow people to come out of parking lot two. They're not called that anymore. But the first right. two parking lots.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that they do
right.
so that those people can get out. And they should be allowed to get out.
Exactly.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
I do think it's also totally okay if the two right lanes were always green and everybody had to exit.
I think that would make sense. I will
and it
say,
would never stop.
I will say, I know there's been some stuff talked about because I had to deal with picking up my daughter. It's been a month or so ago.
Oh, yeah.
And my son, future son-in-law.
Right, right.
And the cell phone waiting area.
Yeah.
Which is about 3 miles away.
It is actually 3 miles away.
It is.
And it is not used at all, ever.
Ever. I was there no. like in the middle of the night. And I was the only car sitting in
it. It is.
It would
actually
be a great place to do drug deals.
Right. As a person that goes to the airport a lot,
yeah.
I will say this.
Yeah.
There's no excuse to use it. It's
right.
actually a bad idea.
Right.
It's far away. It puts you on the wrong side of the airport. It's in a bad part of town. Mm-hmm. It's unpoliced. It's dangerous. Like you said,
right.
it'd be a great place to do a drug deal. But if you go to the other side, so what I do, the new cell phone waiting lot, is the McDonald's.
Right.
It's great. They have bathrooms, food, drink. You're
there's a lot behind Shoney's.
2.5 miles behind Shoney's is nice.
Shoney's
there's
is
a
good.
Mapco. There's
yeah.
a Waffle House. There are any number of great places to wait. And you could spend a couple of dollars at a local business.
Exactly.
And you'd be happy to do so compared to
yeah.
the alternative.
No, that's exactly right. So they closed down the old cell phone lot, put this in
two old cell phone lots.
Put the new one in an unusable space.
Yes.
And so people are just circling.
And they also
they honestly don't know where to go.
They don't know where to go. There's no signage, by the way, coming into the airport that says where the new cell phone lot is.
No.
And more importantly, there's no signage before Briley Parkway coming from downtown
right.
telling people where the new one, because you'd have to take Briley Parkway to get to it.
Right.
So, no, it's a complete and utter failure of communication. It's also a bad solution,
right.
right? There are a bunch of empty parking lots on the other side of Donelson Pike,
mm-hmm.
on the other side of the freeway on Donelson Pike.
Yeah.
A lot of room over there to use for it, because this is a temporary cell phone lot.
Right.
They had to move it to build the new roads.
Right.
Now, they moved it, like always, a year before they needed to.
Exactly.
They haven't started working on those spots yet.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal. It's a big problem. And they announced the solution.
Well, you're going to have free short-term parking.
Free short-term parking. What could go wrong?
30 minutes.
Yeah.
You get 30 minutes.
Which, by the way, it was 20 minutes before.
Okay. So
they've added 10 minutes of free parking.
At 10 minutes of free parking,
and
which means that you're going to have more people going into the garage and trying to egress from the garage.
Guess how
at
you
those
get
lights.
Exactly. Guess how you get to the parking?
Tell me.
Same entrance.
Same entrance.
Guess how you get away from the parking?
Yeah.
Same exit.
Yeah.
This is nothing about this does anything about anything, even a little bit.
Right.
And at this point, if I was the state attorney general who is now suing the Nashville Airport Board again
right.
to get the old law reinstated that got unreinstated because the state took over the airport board.
Right.
And then the judge said, no, you can't do that.
Right.
So now the old airport board is back.
Right.
That's appointed by the city, but the state is suing, and so blah, blah, blah. But if I was the AG of the state, I would say, see, they're just incapable of managing the damn airport, and somebody needs to replace them because they don't know what they're doing.
But
now, the state would do worse.
I was going to say, you know, yeah. I mean, they did run it for like, you know, a couple months.
Yes.
And they didn't fix the problem.
No, not only did they not fix the problem, this is when the problem started, but I would still say it if I was an attorney because they have no obligation to
the
truth.
But let's be real.
Uh-huh.
The board doesn't do anything.
They do not.
This has to do with the top. All they do is hire the manager of the airport. It's kind of like the manager of the airport. It's kind of like the Butch of
yeah, it's the Butch Byrden. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. And
so,
it's like,
I mean, they
it's
really,
a super high paying job.
It's a super high paying job.
Have you ever looked at, so I've been very engaged in this week. So I went to the website and I looked at all of the members of the board and
yeah.
the president and the managing people
right.
and all that kind of stuff. And this is like, you remember the Oscar So White campaign?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do B&A So White campaign.
Exactly. And none of them have
management
any
consulting experience
in
no.
transportation.
No, they need civil engineers.
They do.
You know,
you
and
know.
So no, they have classic political appointees.
Exactly.
And it's a mess to the point that it's made national news now. And so It used to be just irritating. Right. Now it's irritating and embarrassing and causing people to miss airline flights because you're unwilling to listen to your constituents
right.
is an unacceptable way to run an operation of the government.
Well, you know, I'm hearing, you know, cab companies and or limo companies that are basically saying we need to go like 3 hours before.
Yeah, you have to go 3 hours before, and some of them are going to stop. I know that there was an article that rideshare drivers will stop accepting airport runs because they lose so much money taking you to the airport that they will no longer accept those.
Ho. Say that again.
They lose so much money. Sitting in traffic is the number one way to lose money as a rideshare driver.
So.
It pays less than 10 cents to sit in traffic. So if you get stuck in traffic, it is just money directly out of your pocket.
Gotcha.
And you also have to then be yelled at by the people that don't understand.
As opposed to a cab, which actually is a fare that continues.
There is a fare that continues to go up, right? And so you get a flat fare when you
get. So is there a point where the rideshare companies are going to just become taxi cabs?
Well, I mean, they are.
They are.
Yeah, they just are. They're just safer taxi cabs because they got background check drivers. They're GPS followed. They got a safety line, and you can actually complain if there's a mistake.
Right.
And if you leave your wallet or your phone in a rideshare driver's car, you can actually reasonably get it back. There's
That's
a reasonable
true.
Chance of
that
getting it back. So they're just better. It's just a better taxi.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully we'll see what happens with the airport here at Christmas. Thanksgiving was not good.
It was really bad.
It was really bad. And it's going to, you know, look, you increase population, you increase visitors coming into town.
And the airport capacity.
And the airport
like the number
capacity.
Of flights. You added a new terminal already. It's open.
And you don't build the infrastructure around it.
Yep.
This is what you get.
This is Nashville, though. Like, we've talked about this for 2 years. Downtown Nashville has exactly the same problem.
Oh, yeah.
When you're downtown on Broadway, the reason that there's traffic is not because of Broadway. It's because of the next two lights that somebody needs to be controlling so that they can get people out of downtown.
Right.
It's exactly the same people. Exactly the same problem, and it seems to be entrenched in the way Nashvillians wish to manage traffic.
Well, I think that's right. But I also think that I really do think Nashvillians, for the most part, don't recognize the number of people coming into town, particularly on the weekends.
Right.
I don't remember if we talked about in the last podcast, but my trip to Vermont, I know we recorded after that.
Yep.
But my experience flying from Albany on a Friday night, where it was upstate New Yorkers coming in for their party weekend in Nashville, and the plane was full. I mean, at total capacity of folks that were coming in just for the weekend to party.
Yep. They're coming here Thursday and Friday to Monday or Sunday night. And it is...
There's a ton of them.
You know, we've added particularly... I mean, we created an entire new terminal at the airport just for low-cost airlines.
Right.
And so we have an enormous number of people coming to town. But oddly, the problem at the airport is not that.
What is it?
It is moderately complicated by the fact that we have a lot of those people.
Okay.
It's locals going to pick up. And the reason I know this is because it is illegal for taxi cabs, shuttles, buses, or rideshare drivers to go to the arrivals area of the airport.
Right.
So they're not the ones on the off-ramp.
Because they're a level down.
They're a level down and in the other parking lot.
Gotcha.
So they're going to a different place. They can only go to departures.
Gotcha.
So it's not so much the travel class people that are clogging it up.
It's the locals. Okay. Well, locals, get with it.
Yeah, get with it by calling your local airport authority and complaining loudly.
Exactly. Don't complain to your council person.
They can't do anything about it.
So,
yeah.
Okay, well, airport, that's good. Do we want to take a break now or do we want to...
I think because we're come back and we're going to take a peek at the surprising new fairgrounds plan.
The fairgrounds that never goes away. We'll be right back. And we're back. So fairgrounds, we've been talking about fairgrounds for a long time.
When we started this, I have to go back and look, but I bet we talked about the fairgrounds on the first episode.
Look, I remember back when I was over in Antioch and the Carl Dean administration when they were wanting to close the fairgrounds down.
I mean,
this has been going since 2007 or earlier.
Oh, man.
It's been a long...
It's a mess.
The fairgrounds has been... it's been a fraught topic for a long time. And some of that's about racing. Some people that heritage of car racing. And
well, there's heritage, and then there's the real problem.
Yeah, well, there is that too. But some of it, I mean, I was always kind of a fairground supporter just because mm-hmm. I felt like the city needed that property. It was kind of our backup property, like when the floods happened and they needed to park buses somewhere.
During COVID, they needed to put homeless people somewhere.
The city needed a downtown mm-hmm. piece of property to be able to do stuff like that. But
I continue to support ownership of the fairground.
Yeah. What?
I continue to support ownership of the fairground.
Right. But you would like to see it redeveloped?
Well, I would.
Well, it has been redeveloped some.
Yeah, the problem is that I heard from the moment I started researching, learning, or something about the fairgrounds that there is a charter mm-hmm. that basically states mm-hmm. that Nashville only owns that property mm-hmm. if there's racing.
Well, there's actually some question about that Nashville also has to host a state fair.
Yeah, right. There is that question as well.
Which we've sort of kind of punted on in general.
Uh-huh. Which was a good idea, by the way, because our state fair was horrible.
It was horrible.
The Wilson County Fair is way better.
Right.
Wilson County's not good at very many things, but they nail a fair.
See, I'm old enough to remember when the fair park was a permanent theme
right, it was
park.
Always there. I remember that
as
well.
Did you ever ride that roller coaster?
I never did, but it was still here in 79.
Yeah.
Sounds terrible.
It was a wooden roller coaster.
Yeah.
It was creaky.
I love those.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was
I love those. There's just, if it's not scary, it's not a roller coaster.
Exactly.
But it's so, now there's been this proposal made, and it's only a proposal, as we will reference here in a few minutes when we have our conversation with the council person. It has not been presented to the Metro Council. It's not an official proposal. But a bunch of music business types, some money people, and some people with some background and other things all got together. Many of them I know a little bit. Some mm-hmm. I know pretty well. And put together this plan mm-hmm. for the fairgrounds. It would have electric car racing,
right.
which is silent and doesn't pollute. Nice idea if it's any fun. I don't know if it is. I've never seen one.
Well, we know your
Sounds
Tesla
fun.
Goes really fast.
Mine goes really fast. It's a very fast car. And I got a new license plate. Did you see it?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's
I'll
very
have to
cute.
Look, check
yeah.
it out. Yeah.
But I was amazed you could get it, by the way, because it's a drive electric license plate. So
right.
it actually gives a little money to like renewable
sure.
energy. But it's
in this state?
In the state of Tennessee. Now they did charge
that.
Me like $150 because I have an electric car.
Yeah.
You have to pay extra to register it.
Yeah.
Which
okay.
is fascinating. But anyhow, they want EV racing. They want to redevelop into some community spaces, park spaces. There's it looks like there's some housing along the back end of it. I can't tell what that is. But it's a very, very different proposal
right.
than what we've been seeing from Bristol Motor Speedway, who
right.
just simply wants to update it, fix the grandstands, and run some NASCAR races.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't
okay.
know.
Okay.
Can anything happen here?
I don't know. Well, let's look at our history here. So I was just looking at an article in the Nashville Scene by our friend Steve Cavendish, mm-hmm. and it talks about the headline is "As the Racetrack Missed Its Window,"
right?
And it's looking at polling. So the polling in August of 2011—that's when Carl Dean proposed demolishing the fairgrounds in going to build an office park instead.
Right.
Back then, 71%. Of Nashville voters. It went to a referendum, actually. And 71% voted to keep the racetrack and the sheds that housed the flea market and other events. Cavendish says that's an impressive number, and one race fans have touted for years as broad support for racing. But coalitions have a way of changing over time. And the Tennessee State Fair moved to Wilson County. Nashville flea market has not returned in size or quality to the pre-COVID levels. By the way, the flea market back then was awesome.
Truly one of those. It was like they would do a reality show about it now.
Yeah.
It was epic.
So in June of 2023, there was a poll that was made by a reputable pollster asking, do you support or oppose the proposal between Metro Government and Bristol Motor Speedway to renovate and operate the speedway? And that was asked in June, and 42% supported the deal, 30% opposing it. Okay.
By the way, I was wrong about something.
So, okay, well,
I just wanted to be on the record. I was wrong about something.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
And actually, that same pollster said only 29% even knew that there was a deal. 29% of Nashvillians knew that there was a deal. So So then this poll that came out in November that was by the folks that put together this new plan basically said that 44% opposed the deal with Bristol versus 41% supporting it.
Yep.
So the reality is that more and more folks are pretty suspect about the Bristol Motor Speedway.
It just sounds so yesterday. Well, first of all, NASCAR has not been in very good health in the last two or three years either. They're having problems. They have a declining group of thefts. Turns out that they supported a black racing guy and a gay racing guy at NASCAR.
And that didn't go very well.
And that just flushed the toilet on the whole thing. I mean, it might have killed it. We'll find out over years. But it's not a great place to invest right now. It's not on an upturn. They're having their awards here right now, by the way.
I also think folks are just tired of city dollars going to sports things. I mean, we did the soccer stadium.
Yep.
It went through pretty painlessly. And honestly, it kind of was under the radar.
Well, there were a lot of lying about it.
There was a lot of lying.
And so since there was a lot of lying about it, they were able to kind of quietly push it through.
So there was a lot of lying about it. And so that was kind of a mess. I mean, that kind of went through. It was fine. And then we got the Titan Stadium.
Right.
And, you know, out in
the
hinterlands.
And that one got way more stink.
Out in the hinterlands, there were a lot of folks that were like, why are we spending all this money when we've got a homelessness problem, affordability problem, all that kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, you know, the people that are in the rural parts of Nashville.
Yeah.
I'd love to see. You want a number I'd love to see? The rural parts of Nashville and then the places outside of Davidson County that fuel Nashville.
Right.
I would love to know a count on how many of the season ticket holders live in Davidson County.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that would be interesting for me to know.
Yeah.
Because are we building it for Nashville? I mean, it's Nashville money.
Yeah.
You know, I understand if the state of Tennessee, and they want to have a football team called the Tennessee Titans, then the state of Tennessee should pay the whole damn bill.
Right. They're paying.
They're going to chunk in.
They need to pay.
Of course they are, because it's football in the South. So that's one of the things. That's one of the top priorities.
I didn't know that they're also pumping in money for the renovation of the Liberty Bowl in Memphis.
No, I didn't know either.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
It's almost $1 billion that the state, between the two facilities, the state's going to spend $1 billion on upgrading sports facilities. And we have $1 billion in aid for needy families funds that are just sitting in the bank.
That they won't spend. They're going to at least discuss refusing $1.8 billion of federal funds for education.
Yeah.
Because you have to engage in treating LGBTQ plus people and minorities equally.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
makes Jim Crow look like a hell of a good idea.
So
now
fairgrounds,
it's like that'd be more progressive than what we're seeing out of these guys.
Fairgrounds, good proposal or bad proposal?
Interesting proposal. And what I think happens is this becomes the left bookend.
Mm-hmm.
And we already have seen NASCAR and Bristol become the right bookend, and somewhere in the middle will be the solution.
Yeah,
I think it'll lean left. I don't think we're going to have NASCAR. I think that if I was just going to make a prediction, not based on even sentiment regarding NASCAR, based on sentiment regarding investment, I think that there is, you know.
Yeah, NASCAR would make sense to invest in an electric car series because
they really need to.
You know, Formula. I've become
but
a.
But they can't because
I've become a Formula One fan.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, Formula One. No, it's
whole different kettle of fish.
Whole different kettle of fish. But you know, look at Las Vegas. Look at Miami. It's a boatload of money. You want to talk about a name event?
Did you watch? I know this is an aside, real quick.
Yeah.
The Vegas race.
I watched highlights. I didn't watch the whole race. So, but the deal is that they have a series. It's called Formula E.
Yeah.
That's electric cars.
Yep.
It's the future, folk.
It is. Yeah, it's the future.
And they go really fast,
You're talking about cars that accelerate even faster than Indy cars and F1 cars. It's impossible to explain the difference. I literally have a really good friend that just bought a sports car the same time I bought my new Tesla, right? And we were talking about it. And he says, I could never do it because I'm buying it for the noise.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like,
that's the deal.
That's a thing, right? And it is, he wants to feel the transmission go, boom, boom, you know, and that thing. And that's, That's a machismo-based thing, too, right? You know, we're seeing the whole separation between the two. But
there was some talk at Tesla at one point about, do we need to, like, create
add a noise? Yeah.
Add a noise.
I think you can still add one.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make a noise for the inside of the car.
Okay. Well,
it does make noises, by the way. You can make fart noises.
Well, as
that
our
comes
guest,
standard equipment.
As our guest is about to say here in just a minute, that will be coming before the council at some point soon. And so we're going to be looking to see what happens with the fairgrounds. But right now, we're going to take a minute. We're going to go talk with District Councilman Jordan Huffman, who's the council person for District 14. Hope you enjoy this interview. Well, howdy, everybody. We are excited to welcome with us Jordan Huffman, who is the council member from District 14, which is Hermitage, Donelson, Old Hickory, little bits of all of it, right?
Right.
Right. And he also is the proud owner of the Hermitage Homeless Encampment as well. So, Jordan, welcome. We're glad to have you on the BNA podcast.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Happy to be here.
Tell us a little bit about how you ended up becoming a council person.
Sure. First off, I have an extensive background in neighborhood organizing. I'm the former president of the Donelson Hermitage Neighborhood Alliance, and my roots are with neighborhoods. I started exploring this venture a couple of years ago while working alongside my then council member Kevin Roten to understand the processes and duties of the job, and ran for office this summer and was definitely happy with the outcome.
Good deal. So what, you've been on the council how long now? About a month or two? Six weeks?
We're approaching 90 days.
Oh, wow.
Today, yeah.
So what's been your biggest surprise so far being on the council?
You know, the biggest surprise on the council is the amount of emails that you get that are not necessarily directed to you individually.
Okay.
Yeah, that I far underestimated.
Okay, in terms of like folks that mail stuff to the entire council.
That's correct.
Right.
Yes.
And are they mostly issue oriented? I mean, these are people that have got a strong opinion about something and they want to share it with everybody?
I would say the majority in the last 90 days have been pertaining to the racetrack.
Yeah, yeah.
For or against.
Well, then we'll jump right into the racetrack.
So, I noticed that some of my friends, actually, some close friends of mine, are on a committee that put forth a completely flip it all upside down, start from scratch, park/electric race version of the fairgrounds racetrack. What is, I can't imagine. I wish it would work. I can't imagine it would all work, but what's the reception like at the council?
Well, first of all, there's nothing formal that's been presented to the council yet. This is just a rendering concept, if you will. The idea is interesting. There are some things that we have to abide to within the charter to ensure that racing is upheld on that property. So it's going to be an interesting conversation with Metro Legal if this is something that we explore.
Gotcha.
Are we too far down the road with Bristol?
No.
Okay.
No, and see, I will say this about that deal. I think that the mayor, our new mayor, is going to have an opportunity to approach some new possibilities with BMS. And so as far as I'm concerned and as far as the council is concerned at this point, the current or the proposal as it is today is null and void.
Right.
So we're starting over.
Gotcha. All right. I think that's kind of exciting.
So in terms of like the emails from your constituents, what do you hear Nashvillians saying that you think is important?
The biggest issue, and you hit on right when we got on here, is the homeless encampment that's within my district.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's an issue that I have made a priority for me, and it's an issue that I feel the city has done an absolute terrible job at managing over the last 10, 15, 20 years. And we're essentially at the point that we're at right now because of that.
Sure. What's your hope for what will happen there? I mean, and timeline maybe.
Yeah, well, so the camp itself is in an interesting spot because not only is it close to businesses, but it's also close to several residential neighborhoods.
Gotcha.
I'm pushing for closure in a humane way, which means that these people have to have their needs met. They have to be housed. I'm not saying we close the camp and we kick them all off to Wilson County, for example. That's not fair. That's not right. That's not the moral thing to do. So timeline, you know, we're working as hard as we can for a solution sooner rather than later.
And if folks have any doubt, Wilson County is not going to allow them into the county. So I don't think if this idea that we're going to push homelessness out beyond the boundaries of Davidson County, yeah, that ain't happening anytime
soon. No, that's not the deal. Yeah.
Yes.
Good deal.
So is that now, where's the line for 14? Because I know there's also the challenge. I'm sorry, I wandered off from the mic.
But it's okay.
There's also this 15. Challenge of the Hermitage Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. Is that in Jeff's district?
So that is District 11.
Okay.
Yes. The other side of the road is my district.
Okay. So you get big lots.
We're both.
That's correct.
Yeah.
We're both members of Jeff's district.
Yes. So yes. We're victims. Victim. I'm sorry. Members. Yes.
Members of
constituents. Citizens. Yeah. Something. Yeah. Yeah.
So all of that's to say. Other issues that folks are talking about.
You know, there are a lot of other issues in 14 that pertain to our location between part of it being within the General Services District mm-hmm. and part of it being within the Urban Services District.
Yeah, right.
That's always a conversation that's going on. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you're in, well, maybe not obviously, for those that don't know, if you're in the Urban Services District, you're going to pay a higher tax rate, but you're going to get more services. You're going
right.
to get trash service. You're likely going to get faster service around utilities and sidewalks. Mm-hmm. For example, and you know, the model itself was built when Hermitage was more rural.
Right. Yeah.
So there's a push to include Hermitage more in the Urban Services District.
That's
something that I hear a lot of.
Good deal.
That's an interesting choice. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in the Urban Services District. We like our General Services.
We like being able to hire our own trash company.
First of all, we just really like the trash guy.
Yeah.
So it's like because we like the trash guy, we're giving away all of the benefits of being part of the Urban Service because we like the one guy.
Because we like McMurtry.
Exactly.
McMurtry's great.
McMurtry Trash, here, another shout out to McMurtry, the official trash collection of the BNA podcast. I want to go back to this for a second because I think it affects the whole council, but it's so adjacent to what's going on. So there's a big thing going around with the Hermitage Hotel to basically shut it down, to have the city, which would create, I don't know, another, 20 to 50 homeless people, I suppose. Which is always interesting to me when a council person is pushing to close a business that's housing people that would otherwise be in an encampment that he's also trying to close without giving them any services, right? So there just seems like that's a lot of people really close to one another. That's mm-hmm. within a half a mile or so of one another.
Right.
There's a homeless encampment, and then there is a hotel that they're actively trying to just shut down without any alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see some alternatives? Are there some places in our adjacent districts in 11 and 14 and the surrounding areas where we can make some progress in housing? Anybody?
You know, I've had several conversations with the MNPD Hermitage Precinct about this location.
Mm-hmm.
We do see certain nefarious activity on my side of the district from this location. I don't believe that the answer is closing it. It's a location that, as you pointed out, they accept housing vouchers.
Yeah.
It gets people off the streets.
Yeah.
Now, are there improvements that could be made? Absolutely. I would advise that would be the path that would be taken instead of creating an additional people on the streets for no reason.
Right. Is there like a codes and permits kind of way to approach it, do you think?
Possibly, yeah. I think that's very possible.
Because it's clearly a burden, you know, on a lot of the people around it. And there's definitely, you said about nefarious activity, and we just call it a crack hotel in order to maintain the vernacular. But at the same time, I've met people that live there.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, actually, a person that moved here from out of state is working at the Amazon warehouse in Wilson County. They're living there for the time being. You know, it's for them, it serves as transitional housing,
mm-hmm.
right? And we do have a shortage. Now, on your side, by the freeway, we have the hotel and / apartment cluster at I-40 mm-hmm. and Old Hickory Boulevard. What's the status of that today? I know there's construction going on, and there seem to be expanding, and Is that going to be a housing voucher?
So some of those are located within District 12, my counterpart, Aaron okay. Evans' district.
Oh, yeah.
I can't speak for that side. However, I will say that I'm currently working on a rezoning at a – it's called Rudy Studio. It's a weekly rate place at the moment.
Great.
It's transitioning into more of a solution that would accept housing vouchers. And the owner is done a lot in regards to renovations to make that place a lot nicer than it is now.
That's great.
That's there on Central Pike, right?
It's right there on Central Pike. And, you know, one thing, going back to the Hermitage Hotel and the conditions there, I think that we could take this project on Central Pike as a good example of what you can do. You know, just a few things can make something a little bit nicer. And if someone is having a tough time with that transition from the streets to back to being housed, you know, a nice floor or a new coat of paint may help immensely, and it may feel less like a prison cell, you know?
You know, one of the things a couple of years ago, there was some talk about the city, as we start looking at affordable housing options and transitional housing options, about the city purchasing hotels and, you know, running them as programs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that totally, I mean, because obviously you've got a business owner who is making his money at the Hermitage Hotel, or her money, and, you know, is not going to invest a lot of money in it because they're making a profit and they're doing fine. There's no incentive for them.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I can't discern a legal means for depriving a business owner of their property and their business that they have no responsibility for the conduct of their residents.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only way to be able to deal with that is to turn that into some sort of program that does have some responsibility for the conduct of people that are living there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, is that just totally off the wall?
I don't think it is. You know, one thing that I firmly believe in regards to our housing crisis at the moment is that we could be converting currently owned metro properties into housing. It makes so much sense to do that, to spend the money renovating instead of building from scratch and acquiring new land. In this instance, it would be along the same lines. You would be purchasing these structures and putting some renovation money into it to build more housing to fit our crisis. So I think it's a great investment, and we're going to have to start moving forward in some manner. While private businesses are always good, you know, private ownership, I think the city has a responsibility here to look into that.
Absolutely.
I do think that, you know, we talk about at the state level, we're always talking about public-private partnerships, right? And the there's some great use cases for that. Not a lot of them in this circumstance. But when you go to a place like Hermitage Hotel, and if somebody is making 10% profit, I think it's probably high, but it may be somewhere in the low percentage profit. That's money that, if it was a city program, would be immediately returned back, because we don't have shit. We want to break even, would be great, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, we're using vouchers to pay ourselves. So that circle, it feels to me like if we eliminate – this is one of the rare circumstances where eliminating private profit actually helps accomplish more than – because 90% of the time it's the opposite.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I am concerned about that. And I think that – now, I do think the petition idea, Jay, that they were talking about is that it would actually be closed as a public nuisance. So – they would, and they do that all the time with little gas stations and stuff that are becoming a problem.
The criteria is pretty high, though.
Yeah, it is. Not, it's tough.
I mean, it's,
but they're close.
Yeah.
And it is, I mean, they do have an enormous amount of calls from the police department there.
Sure.
It's really something to read about.
Sure.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, the Hermitage Police Precinct right now is understaffed, and their service area is massive.
You know, it really is.
It covers Old Hickory, Donelson, Hermitage, all the way down into Antioch, almost all the way down to the downtown sector, you know.
Yeah.
The amount of time spent at locations like this or dealing with camp issues, it's crazy. You know, I would definitely like to see some directions to be handed down to this owner so that we could get on a path to where it's just a little bit more acceptable, reduce those calls a little bit more.
Gotcha. Awesome. Any other big issues you see coming before the council that you're excited about or concerned about?
Yeah, well, we've got a few things that are going to be coming down the pike for sure. I expect something in the coming months in regards to the fairgrounds. That's going to be a very robust debate. Yes. People are very opinionated on that. I personally think that it's Bristol is going to have to come to the table with a little bit more than they currently are. Right. I think that the appetite for public dollars towards another sports venture is not that high at the moment. So that's going to be one of the biggest things that's going to be coming up. And then, believe it or not, we turn around and we're almost to budget season. You know, we've got the potential of a transit referendum coming up. That's a big issue that we're going to be working with the mayor's office on. It's boring coming to the meetings or viewing online, but you never know, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You may have instances where new councilmen, pull stuff off third reading for no reason, right?
I can't imagine who would have done that.
Right. Yeah. Now I will say, I mean, District 14 plays an important role in transit in Nashville because it is one of the few districts that has transit in Nashville,
That's right.
Do you see some more, any activity with the WeGo Star? Any changes there do you see coming down the pike?
I've spoken to Steve Bland, the CEO of WeGo, specifically about this. I've spoken to the mayor about this. I would love to see the frequency pick up. One thing that hurts the Star's ridership at the moment is if you're late, like let's say you go to a Preds game, well, what
you're
are you
toast,
gonna do?
Right.
Yeah, you might as well just call an Uber and, you know, that's $100, you know? So it's kind of defeating the purpose there. It gets back to that public-private partnership there. Of course, we've got we have to ensure that the rail companies are on board for something like that. But yeah, it would be massive if we could increase that.
Yeah, if you could. People talk about it all the time. When one of the things about transit is it's one of the few things in life that I suggest you have to build it and then people will use it. You can't.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. It only works that way. People really do learn to use transit.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, we have the skeleton for a really good transit system here. Yeah. You know, I mean, heck, 100 years ago, we had an intricate line of streetcars that came through Nashville, you know. But, you know, the streetcars are now replaced by buses. I think that the expansion of the second terminal for WeGo is going to help immensely. But now we need more frequency on those lines, too. You know,
exactly.
The six
that
runs through Lebanon Road and through my district right now, it's great. But, hey, 2-3 times an hour would be a lot better than once.
Yeah, right. No
exactly,
question.
Exactly. No question. Well, we know you've got other fish
lots
to fry,
on.
But we appreciate you giving us a few minutes, and we look forward to seeing what's ahead of you in the future.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Happy to come back anytime.
Thank you, Councilman.
Well, that was a great interview, and thank you, Councilperson Huffman, for being with us.
Yeah, it was very generous of taking the time, and I know he was in the middle of working on some actual council business and was able to peel off a few minutes for us. So that was great.
So you have one other thing on our agenda.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring up something that ended yesterday. We're recording this on Friday. Is it the 1st?
It is the 1st.
I think it's the 1st of December.
Happy December.
And yeah, it's like weird that it's December, but whatever. Nashville does a thing where they set aside like $10 million or something, and they do just a poll. It's sort of a fancy poll, but it's 100% Democratic, where you can go online and you can vote for where you want the money spent. There are 35-ish options available. You can choose up to 5 that are your choices, and it's called participatory budgeting.
And
everyone that lives in Davidson County can vote from 14 years of age and up, and it doesn't matter if you're a citizen, a permanent resident, anything. They just want people's opinion that are Nashville or invested in Nashville.
For this $10 million. $10.7
million. Yeah.
Okay. So it didn't go real well.
Well, nobody did it.
Well,
so it was like I did it. I went online.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I follow – accounts on Threads and stuff like that of anybody that has anything to do with the city. I'm following the accounts, and it popped up, and I'm like, oh, it's called PB, and it was on the radio, on public radio. They mentioned participatory budgeting, and they said that it was like pbnash.org or something. I'm like, oh, I'll check it out. So I went on there. It was a terrible experience.
Right.
But that was okay. I mean, it's the city popping up a website, and they're taking votes of the people on spending some of the money. I'm like, down with this. No matter how bad the experience is, I'm going all the way through. And I did. And I voted for things that were mostly – most of them I didn't know where they were.
Yeah.
Right? It would say things like the such-and-such neighborhood community center.
Right.
And I didn't know where it was. And I didn't necessarily have enough time to Google all 35 of them and figure out what I was voting for.
Right.
So I kind of kept it local. On my votes, I was familiar with what it meant to improve the Hermitage Library and add, you know, like they want to add a pollinating garden and stuff like that. And it all sounded fine, you know.
Yeah,
so I voted for the things that I understood. But this was not promoted right.
Oh, it was definitely not promoted right.
I watched the morning news every day, and I never heard anybody mention it.
No, no, it was not promoted very well. And you know, and there was a lot of leadership transition.
Yeah, that's true.
So back in May, one of the chairs, the committee chair, left because she felt like it was just kind of a distraction.
Right.
It's kind of like, it's one of these things of, oh, we're going to appear that we're listening to people.
Yeah.
But when it really comes down to it, $10 million is not a lot
of money. It's not very much money.
And,
but I tell you what, if you want a dog park, it's excellent, right, to draw attention to. I mean, you just got to get your council person to put your dog park on the PB, and next year you get a dog park.
Yeah. So, I mean, what we've ended up is we've ended up with three leaders of the steering committee.
Got it.
It was first Whitney Pastorek, then Fabian Bedney, who was in the mayor's office, had that role. And then when he left, because Freddie got elected, it got taken over by the woman who's the head of the finance department.
Right, right.
So, it's not been promoted well.
No.
And it's
it needs to be bigger.
It needs to be
clearer.
And it probably needs to be, was it a ranked choice system?
I assume it is ranked choice, but they don't mention that.
They don't mention that. So you don't know the criteria for it.
But I think that, I think maybe five, like you can vote for five because five are going to get chosen. So out of 36 or whatever, or 35, whatever it was. So I don't know how it's going to work out.
Well, there
I mean, these are small projects.
There
but.
Is a deal that, so here, looking at the article here, there is a cap. Okay, so for certain communities. So they have this, what they call social vulnerability index. This is how it gets bureaucratic and complicated.
This is why people don't like the government.
Bordeaux and Antioch have a $4.5 million spending cap.
Right.
But those assessed as least vulnerable have a spending cap of $1.5 million.
Right, of course.
And it says projects range from $50,000 for traffic calming on 24th Avenue North to $1.75 million for a turf dog park at Smith Springs Community Center. Nine projects cost less than $100,000, four come in at over $1 million. The 30 least expensive proposals could be fully funded with $9.5 million, and all could be funded for just over $16
million. Right. So a lot can be done with it. I guess it just makes you feel better.
Yeah. We paid $600,000 to Hall Strategies to do the PR and encourage folks to do it.
I'm going
to
say right now that Hall Strategies, I know nothing about them.
Yeah.
They suck.
Yeah. Where I heard about it was from local council people.
Right. I saw it on a Facebook page.
Local.
And then I heard it on the radio afterwards.
Local council people, at least out here, several of them were really good about saying, hey, have you heard about this participatory budgeting? You need to do this. But anything beyond that, no. And again, I just think it wasn't clear. It wasn't clearly communicated.
Well, and then when you, even if you do choose to participate, it isn't clear.
Yeah.
So if you go on the site, and like I said, you know, there's a bunch of, I don't know where these neighborhoods are. These are, because these aren't like, it doesn't say like Antioch, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Or Brentwood or Bellevue. It's some micro neighborhood name, you know, like.
There needed to be a map.
I had
and
nothing.
You clicked on it to find, see where it was.
Really would have helped.
And there needed to be a clear, like, sales pitch.
Exactly.
For why
everybody
this,
should have been able to put up a page for their project.
PDF that you can print out that says this is what the scope of the project is, and this is why we need it, and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
I mean, you could have had, you could have done promotion, I think well within the scope of what you do at a church to say, hey, they're talking about doing this.
But here's the question. Is this a good idea?
Well, depends on what it is. Yes. I think that there's something to be said for having discretionary budgetary items.
Right.
Now, should you do the whole city at once? No, absolutely not. Made no sense whatsoever to allow the entire city to vote on what's going to happen in the Silver Springs.
Right.
Where I don't know where that is.
Right.
So, do you know where it is?
Smith Springs. Yeah,
Smith
it's
Springs.
Antioch.
Okay. I remember Smith Springs Road. I've seen that. Yeah,
absolutely.
So over there, that's fine. I'm happy for them, and I want them to get whatever they would like. I have a feeling that it is currently too gimmicky.
Right.
Right? And it's not enough money to matter.
Yeah.
But I did have an opportunity to vote against all traffic calming measures,
which I felt like
every time it said traffic calming, I skipped immediately over because those are ridiculous waste of money.
It kind of feels that way to me.
I mean, there's things you can do to reduce neighborhood traffic and move things, all that kind. That's fine, but that should be a DOT decision based on data, based on opinion.
And that's my problem with participatory budgeting in some ways is that it's not. We're making budget decisions not based on data. It's kind of like who can mobilize enough people to say, oh, this we think this is a good thing. And the other piece is for me with government is when people vote for something and they get invested in it and then they don't get it, they get real pissed.
Then they get mad. Yeah.
It's kind of like, why bother? And there is that kind of – it's kind of like the same thing with voting and then your candidate always loses. It's well, why should I vote?
Yeah, eventually you start running out of juice in the whole thing, which is the whole strategy of the Tennessee GOP.
Pretty much.
I mean, I was talking about that earlier, a separate conversation, but it was, since I moved here – I had someone who I would consider a representative in the House. Mm-hmm. When I moved here, there was a representative I would have considered a representative in the Senate.
Right.
There was a representative in the State House, Senate side, and I forget what they're called, but whatever, the left side and the right side downtown of that building.
Right.
And a council person. And now I'm down to, I guess, who replaced Bill Beck?
Afton Bend.
I got that one, and I got nobody.
Yeah.
Because now we no longer have a House seat. We don't have any Senate seats for Nashville or Memphis.
Yeah.
Or most of Knoxville.
Yeah, well,
We don't have any of those.
We don't have any of those.
And we do not have representation in the government.
Not very much.
So that's why I like participatory budgeting. I actually got to say,
Now you're making me depressed. So
We're going to get butterflies in a garden over by Hermitage.
Why don't we take one last break and then we'll come back and wrap this thing up.
Got it. Thanks.
And we're back for our final little bit of frivolity.
Because, I got y'all depressed talking about the government. So now we're going to talk about food.
So what'd you do for Thanksgiving?
We were at home and let's see. And our neighbors, actually, we found out that the Foxes were in town, so we all got together and had it together, and one of my sons was there.
Oh, good. Did you cook?
There was cooking in the
house.
Saying that I cooked would be a strong overreach.
So I did cook, but then we took it elsewhere. So our friends down at Dee's Country Cocktail Lounge, Amy throws a big potluck for anybody in the community that needs to have Thanksgiving. So 5 o'clock, she usually provides the meat and stuff like that. So it is a great community Thanksgiving. So we gathered with our friends down there.
Nice.
Had a beverage or two, ate a bunch of real good food.
Did they have any music that day?
They did not have music, just the jukebox.
That's nice.
So that's kind of nice. So, I shout out to Dee's for their annual Thanksgiving tradition.
That is fantastic.
For a lot of folks who maybe are single and don't have any way to get home, it's kind of a nice thing to be able to gather.
Yeah, it's good. Friends community gatherings are better. There was also my recovery community sponsors a thing at the Woodland Presbyterian Church in East Nashville.
Yeah.
And they do an all-day Thanksgiving.
Cool.
Huge, huge amount of food. But I just was not able to get there this year because I was too busy eating at my own house.
I understand that you have made your way to my local pupusa place.
So we have a pupusa problem, and we openly admit it and talk to people about it. We eat too many pupusas. And
is there such a thing as too many?
No, I guess not.
Not really.
I guess not. Not so far.
Yeah.
And so we used to go to a particular place at the pupuseria, and it was good.
It was really good. Yeah,
very good food and nice people. Love it very much. And then you suggested I go down to Nuevo Jerusalem.
Nuevo Jerusalem.
Yeah. I think it's Jerusalem.
Nueva
Jerusalem. So we went down there, and it was slow.
Mm-hmm.
Took a while.
Yeah.
And I think
fast.
There was just the one or two people working there.
Yeah.
They were very nice.
Nobody speaks English.
I watched some Spanish television. There was like one. I always forget how obsessed Spanish television is with people that would be Fox News girls in the United States.
Yeah.
It's a voluptuous bunch.
Yes.
So I was watching it, and it's really funny when you can't understand what they're saying. I can speak a little Spanish, but not fast enough.
Yeah. It's really clear that the folks come from an evangelical Christian background.
No question.
Because a lot of times when the TV's on, it's like playing Spanish Christian music videos.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you can tell that's what it is.
Yeah. You know. But you just can't, yeah.
Yeah.
I would probably know all those words.
But the question is, how were the pupusas?
Oh, yeah, we ate. So I got a whole bunch.
Gotcha.
Because I was there.
Yeah.
So just get a half a dozen and, you know.
But you can only eat about two.
Oh, yeah. Two's a lot. One and a half is my number.
Yeah.
That's my right. If I'm being kind to myself, I eat one and a half.
Yeah, I'm never kind to myself. I always have
to. No, two's great.
Yeah.
So they were epic. Absolutely epic. They're really good. We did a chorizo kind of a deal.
Oh, yeah,
and it's
great.
Very, very flavorful. Yeah. They did a great job. So we recommend Nueva Jerusalem on Gallatin.
And someday when you're up for a late breakfast, because they don't open early, they do a really good breakfast.
Really?
There.
That'd be fun.
So I went one day, and it was like I had scrambled eggs and chorizo, fried plantains, black beans, the pupusa tortillas.
Some
cheese, and it's just a really good meal.
That sounds like a really good.
It was a good breakfast.
I might be able to take the wife to that one too.
Sure,
like that.
She would probably like that. So,
wow.
You know, if we get the wives out, wives don't tend to go.
They don't go out much. But we also went to Wicked.
Right.
Extremely good.
It's a beautiful.
Here.
It's a beautiful show.
Yeah, it's a great tour. We see. Have you been to Redheaded Stranger yet?
I have not. I don't even know where it is.
It is right across. Is literally at the same corner as what's Sean Brock's fancy restaurant?
That one.
And so it's June upstairs.
June upstairs.
And downstairs is his mother's name or something.
It's grandmother's name, and I can't remember.
Terrible.
It's bad. Sean, we apologize.
Sorry about that. If you sponsored the program, we would have it written in front of us.
All you have to do is just let us come eat one day.
Oh, yeah. That's by sponsor the program,
sponsor
I mean
program,
free
that's
food.
It.
Yeah.
Free food. That's
so,
what we want.
That's all we're talking about. So, but anyway, it's right across the street and exceptionally good, sort of. Fresh fare Mexican type food. And then I have to give a shout out to Thai Phuket. And the reason I say this is because it's like we go to Thai Phuket in the River Gate.
Yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I never have given them a shout out. It's not like a new discovery by any wild stretch of the imagination.
Right.
But you know, when you're in Nashville, Tennessee on the north side of town and you want some Thai food.
Yeah.
Maybe the best place to go out here.
Are you much of an Indian food guy?
I love Indian food. It's hard for my wife to get Indian food.
Have you been to the one out here in Rivergate?
I have not.
You and I need to go.
We need to go on an exploratory
trip. And I also want to say, Sean, if you don't want to sponsor enough for whatever the name of the restaurant is that neither one of us can remember because we're old.
No, it's not because we're old. It's because we haven't been fed there yet.
Well, I was going to say, even if he just wanted to give us, you know, a meal at Joyland, I would eat at Joyland.
I love Joyland.
I've never been.
You know,
I still need to go.
You haven't? I tell you why it's great for us.
Yeah.
Gluten-free fried chicken.
Well, that's good for you. It's not good for me.
No. When I talk about us, I was talking about my wife. Yeah, in this
gluten-free
particular case.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So that... that puts it on, and they have great milkshakes.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So, well, with that, I think we probably need to go because it looks like we're at an hour and it's time. So, folks, I hope you've enjoyed this show. Go check out the restaurants we've mentioned. And also, we want to thank Jordan Huffman for being with us and giving us his time. We aren't going to promise when we're going to do another one, but hopefully we'll do one soon. If you keep writing us and letting us know,
then we'll definitely do one soon because we're incredibly well motivated by guilt.
Exactly. So it's good to be back with you. We'll see you soon.